Hello, love buddies.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wedded Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Steve Van Elk.
Steve. We're a semi-professional look at wedding planning and marriage.
Basically, we're going to help you get together and hopefully stay together. That's the plan.
Always the plan. Hi! How was your weekend, Steven Van Elk?
My weekend was great.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I was actually...
Jennifer, how was Jennifer, my love, my dear, my dove, how was your weekend?
You know, it was really great, but I just have one complaint.
What's your one complaint?
I was beer shamed.
Beer shamed?
I was beer shamed. Kind of like glam shaming. Like, it's not really a thing, but it's a thing. I was completely beer shamed by someone I did not know.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to back up and explain to me what glam shaming is, and then explain to me what beer shaming is.
Well, glam shaming is when you shame someone for being glamorous. And beer shaming
is glamorous.
Steve, that's like 25 years old.
I'm older than that. Works.
And beer shaming is when you shame beers.
You can't be beer shamed in that situation. Your beer could be beer shamed, but you...
We showed up to a Super Bowl party and I brought what I thought was a delicioso beer. And I thought it would be super cool and bring a really cool beer. And
it was super cool. And you were super cool.
Instead, I was the only one that drank it, and one other person told me that it was a drunk people's beer.
The only person who looks at an 8% alcohol by volume beer and says that's a drunk person's beer is somebody who doesn't drink beer for the taste, but just tries to get it down as fast as possible. An 8% beer, that's like an hour-long journey that you're going on.
That's the only thing I drank. And a margarita, but... It was for hours. Well, I can't get over it.
You can't get over getting beer shamed?
Yeah. I just think it's a topic that needs to be brought up. Like
shaming in general or specifically beer shaming?
I feel like it's an epidemic. And it needs to be addressed.
And this is related to weddings, how? Or married life?
It's always related to everything.
Beer
shaming
is the blood of earth. It's related to everything.
And shaming's toxic for any category or industry.
And beer is toxic. All alcohol is.
Yeah, so you're double shaming me by bringing toxicity to toxicity.
Transition has to transition.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to find one. Speaking of toxic.
How about we go with speaking of shaming? If we're talking about the subject you said we're going to talk about.
Speaking of toxic, you know what? If you put certain minerals in the ground and then they make other things.
You could go, speaking of shaming, and go straight into ring shaming. Or you could say, speaking of toxic, and then talk about how minerals are getting in the soil.
And then creates shiny things. And then people, they mine those things and create... engagement stuff.
Take that one back.
Engagement circles. Listen, speaking of shaming,
I read an article recently about a bride-to-be who was slammed for moaning that her boyfriend proposed with his grandmother's ring. So, Jen, do you want to talk a little bit about your engagement ring and how you got shamed? Is that why we chose this article to talk about tonight?
Are we really going to get into the topic of being shamed by your ring? I was thinking more of discussing what happened in the articles and how that relates to our story. A lady posts to a forum on WeddingBee complaining about the ring that she received from her boyfriend. She received a gorgeous 2-carat ring that was passed down from his grandmother.
2-carat ring?
Two carats. I'm not joking.
How much that would have gone for back when his grandmother got married?
Huge. I think that he used the diamond for it to set it, But the rest of the ring, it's very, very large. It's very big. It's very, what she said is blingy. But her dream ring was a gold band with a canary yellow diamond. So her complaint is that her boyfriend had completely ignored everything that she had requested and bought her something way different. She's like, I love him. I said yes, but I do not really like, I don't like the ring very much. There's been mixed feelings about it, as you would expect on the internet. There's always mixed feelings, but I think this is a good thing to address when you do have someone who is not really into their ring and what you should do about it. Maybe some options.
You could say no. If he can't or she can't buy you the right ring, they obviously don't know you well enough to be your partner for the rest of your life. Because the ability to buy the good jewelry is the 100% most important thing in relationship compatibility. That's why I've always bought Jen the good jewelry.
True.
Like your engagement ring, which is... Where'd you put that? Are you going to kill
gonna
me right
somebody.
Now?
All right. So we're going to get into our personal story.
Oh, you're going to talk about your wedding band, which is...
In my jewelry box, excuse me.
Where?
In my jewelry box. Okay, so Steven and I got engaged straight out of college. I was actually still in college. Steve was...
I was substitute teaching while I looked for a job in my field.
Not even full-time. So he was not working very much. He had about negative $50 to his name.
That is not true.
There wasn't very much. This is what happens when you graduate from college in 2008. There aren't jobs. And so you have to take what you can get. Anyway.
Get what you get. You don't throw a shit.
It's fits.
You don't give a shit.
Gosh.
You get what you get and you don't lose your shit. There we go. Got it.
So I honestly did not expect a engagement to happen, our proposal to happen within this time period, even though I was very anxious to get married to Steven. So it was a great surprise. He would say that I hated the engagement ring. That was not true. I did not hate it.
Just so I can be clear to everybody listening right now, the engagement ring I bought Jen, it was a lovely, lovely ring. It was a gold band. There's a giant fish on it, and then the fish's eye had a diamond in it.
Okay, that's an ongoing joke. I had a dream that he proposed to me with a ring that had a fish on it, and the fish's eye's diamond that was on the ring was larger than the actual diamond received.
Which is what she told me after I proposed to her, the night I proposed to her.
Not true.
In the snow, on my knee, she was like, oh, there is a diamond. It's just so small.
That is not true at all. He actually was so nervous that he held up the ring upside down. So I couldn't even see the top of it because the ring was upside down. And I still said yes, because that's all I cared about was marrying him. But I want to say this. For those that are, I am going to get a lot of hate mail for this. I know it. But for those who are not super happy about it, about the ring, and I don't think it should ever be about size, but maybe style.
Well, you know, it's like they say, it's not the size that counts, it's how you use it. But a little extra size never hurt anybody, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't hate my ring. It was just, that's all that we could afford at the time. And I respected that.
Wow. You're going to get put on blast on the internet now, just like this lady who complained about her giant ring.
I'm trying to explain that, like, it was never a thing where I was like, ew, gross. What should I do about this? It's just that I don't know.
Hey, babe. Say it. Say it. Come on. Put me on blast. Put me on blast.
I'm not putting you on blast.
If there's any one thing you could do with your life right now, it would be to buy yourself a bigger diamond engagement ring. So then you could show it off to people and say, Steve was already a successful podcaster when I met him who could afford this giant ring with all the podcasting.
No,
he did.
One of my friends said she had a very tiny ring and she would say, this just proves that our husbands loved us so much that they did whatever, they scrounged up as much as they could just to marry us. And I think that makes it incredibly special. And Stephen, you were 23 years old and pretty much unemployed, and you still wanted to marry me, and you took all the money that you had.
I took all the money I didn't have. It was on a credit card.
Yes. Which carried on to the day after our wedding.
Which, word of advice, I paid off the ring before the wedding. Word of advice to everybody out there thinking about getting engaged, who maybe isn't engaged already, do not buy that engagement ring on credit. It's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea. Sometimes your eyes want something, but your checkbook can't cover it. And sometimes you go ahead and buy it anyway. And that is how you put yourself in a position to fail for the rest of your life, drowning in debt.
No, that is not true. Yes, if you you completely set yourself up for that all the time. Yes. But we did not set ourselves up for that. We always tried to live within our means. And
we did not set ourselves up for that. I set us up for that. You're welcome.
No, it was, we did just fine. I'm just going to be brutally honest. It wouldn't have been my first choice. And Steve knows that. And we've already talked about this, even though he's making...
Ouch, you're telling me like this on the podcast?
You're such a... Stop it.
For the first time ever?
But it was very special to me because Steve picked it out. And this was his symbol to show me that he wanted to spend the rest of my life or his life with me. And that itself was special. Now, he asked where my engagement ring is. And I just have to say, I don't have a clue. And it drives me crazy every single day. And I look every day. I did not get any sleep for 2 years after my daughter was born. And in between day one and day 3 months, to day 90, I lost my engagement ring somewhere. I have no idea. I remember setting it on my end table and I never saw it again. I've tore up our entire bedroom and I have not found it. I am not good at keeping things. I lose everything. And you can even talk to Steve if you want to, which you don't necessarily have to, because typically people aren't proud of being able to lose things. But I spent all day 2 days ago trying to find something.
A notebook.
A notebook. It took Steve 30 seconds to find it, but it took me all day to find it.
No, it took you all day to not find it.
Yeah.
It took me 30 seconds.
So you need to look for the engagement ring.
Just tell me, what's the one place you've looked 3 to 4 times already where it's definitely not? I'll go look there and it'll be there.
So a lot of people get upgrades on their wedding bands as they get older and they become wealthier, at least from my experience with baby boomers are. I think that our generation kind of gets like the, instead of buying the starter home and then they get the forever home, they just buy the forever home. And that's okay. Like, that's fine. But I honestly didn't see it as like, I have to wear this every single day for the rest of my life. I saw that as, this is special to me because Steve proposed to me with it. And maybe someday I'll change it out.
As long as you wear the wedding band every single day for the rest of your life and never lose any of the diamonds out of it, it's fine.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of hate from this. And I'm trying to just be honest because I know there's people out there that are feeling like this is not what I was hoping for, but I got it.
I'm giving Jenna a hard time, but I don't care. She's my wife and she's not going anywhere. The ring is just, it's metal garbage and diamond garbage. And the ring means nothing compared to the love and relationship that we have. And I don't care that she can't find the ring, in all honesty, because the ring doesn't mean we are or aren't married. What makes us married is our relationship and our commitment to each other. And there's no officiant anywhere who could make us more or less married. There's no judge anywhere who could make us more or less married. Our marriage is a commitment we make to each other, and it'll last as long as we last because we will always be committed to each other.
Yes.
That's me, Steve Van Ock, just here on this wedding podcast to let you know you don't need a wedding. You don't need an officiant. You don't need any of that. We had clients one time who hired us to do their photography who told us we got married 3 years earlier on the side of a mountain. We just signed a piece of paper in the state of Colorado and then we're married for the rest of our lives. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever because that's what your marriage should be. It's a commitment between the two of you. So now that I am, just a sec, let me put my soapbox away. Ah, we can get back to talking about rings and shaming people.
My experience was different than my friends, and I actually got a lot of flack from my friends too. Steve was like, those bitches.
I used a cussy. That is correct. I whipped a cussy out my back pocket.
So I had some very rude friends comment about my ring size and how they would not say yes if their fiance proposed with that.
Are those people friends?
They're not friends anymore. And it honestly, I didn't feel bad about it. I was all, my 23-year-old self did not feel bad about my beautiful ring until someone shamed me about it. And then it kind of made me feel like it's kind of like when you are a kid, like if you're a kid who is really like a girl who's really into trucks, or a boy that wants to have his nails painted, and then you show up to school and people are like, why do you have that? Why is that on your nails? And then all of a sudden you feel shame for something that you really loved. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely felt that way.
It's okay if your dad's cool, he'll probably get his nails painted too, so you feel awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you have a real, real cool dad.
I really hated that about myself, because I really wanted to be like, I don't care about what people think. But I mean, I was 23 and I was very insecure. But I think the issue really is that the ring is not a symbol of love. Well, okay. The ring size, people have taken it as someone loves you more the bigger it is. I was wearing a ring that was like a pink sapphire, and it was just costume jewelry. It wasn't real, but I was in an elevator, and some lady goes, oh, you must have someone who really loves you. I'm like, I do, but this is fake.
And so's our love. Boom.
No, I just think like the culture is that the bigger the jewelry or the bigger the diamond. I mean, like I could have completely, I did buy that for myself. And even if it was real, I could have bought that for myself. And I should have just pretended like I did and been like, yeah, I really do love myself.
Yes. Well, I do think that it was everybody's favorite prophet of the four prophets, Ringo, who said, that you can't buy me love. I believe those were his words that he definitely said. Yeah. He was the main singer in that group, Ringo Starr.
I wish you could see my face right now.
The most talented person in that group, Ringo Starr. He definitely wrote the song Can't Buy Me Love. He sang all the lyrics. He played all the instruments. He just brought the other boys in.
Oh my gosh. You talk about going in on rants that you have to cut out later. You're definitely cutting this one out. It doesn't make any sense at all.
It was just to see the look on your face when I said Ringo Starr was the most talented Beatle. It was so worth it. It's so worth it for me. Jen's face looked like she was trying to murder me.
You don't have to tell them because you're not going to keep this in the podcast. That's not going to change. Our culture is still always going to be that size equals love. And that's for some people. And that's unfortunately not going to change. But you can change your mindset and find the great things about it. There are other options. Like Steve said, you could say no. But some others that you can consider is maybe buying yourself a ring. Why is your spouse required to purchase you a new ring just because you are not as big of a fan of it as you would have liked to be? There's just so much emphasis put on that ring. So I understand why people get disappointed, because you dream about the moment that you get proposed to, and you have like these expectations set, and sometimes those aren't met. But it really is like such a minor thing. It really isn't that big of a deal.
I think it's rough in our culture because sometimes it feels like you can't get married unless you propose with a ring. And it's just, honestly, it's just stupid. And as I already said in my soapbox earlier, let me pull that back out.
And just a reminder, Steve proposed with a ring.
Matter is that you're in love and that you want to spend the rest of your life with the other person. And so it is really weird that, like, I felt like I couldn't marry Jen if I didn't buy her a ring. I felt like...
I wouldn't have said yes.
Society would not accept our marriage if there was not an engagement ring, a promise that we would be married one day. So I have a lot of trouble with this part of our wedding culture in America. Other cultures, they don't do rings.
Well, even other religious ceremonies, they don't do a ring exchange.
Yeah, so.
You just be faithful. You don't have to.
You just don't cheat on your spouse. We're just kidding, but married life is tough.
And it is.
Monetary things like rings complicate it before it even gets started. So if you are a lady or a man out there who's thinking about getting married and you're like, man, I just really don't get this whole ring thing and I don't understand why I have to buy a ring for the other person, maybe think to yourself like, maybe there's no ring. Maybe I just say I want to marry you. You say you want to marry me. And, you know, if my partner wants a ring, we figure that out afterwards. Or maybe you just say, hey, this person bought me a ring. I'm going to buy them a ring too. Like, this is weird that we don't both have outward signs of our commitment to marry each other. Why didn't you buy me a ring, Jen?
Because I'm faithful.
You could have got me like a puka shell necklace or something.
I would have got you a toe ring and you would have had to wear that every single day.
Could have pierced my belly button.
I don't know. I think I would have liked the toe ring better. The key is communication before, knowing what the expectations are for engagement. And I mean, it never hurts to, I mean, at this point, if you're listening to this for wedding planning purposes, you've already passed that point. But I think that's a good starting point for most people. They love their engagement rings and they're excited to show them off. There's just a very small few that might be in this predicament. I think engagement periods are they can be a little bit fragile. And someone didn't just go online and play Russian roulette and picking the ring out. They spent time, they searched for what they thought would be best. And you're going to be hurting some feelings if you do bring it up. And I don't think it's a good idea. You can always talk about 5 years and, you know, maybe bring it up after you're married that not necessarily I hate this, but like, hey, you know, I would love to have like a ring upgrade for our anniversary. What do you think about that?
Because the original ring wasn't good enough. Phrase it like that.
It's never.
It'll go over real well.
And there's people who love their rings and still get ring upgrades. Like I think that bringing that up is just can be a really sensitive subject unless you know your person well enough that you know their feelings aren't going to be hurt. I don't even think it's worth it. It's like telling someone that their Christmas gift was terrible. Like you just don't do that unless you're a terrible person.
Now, here would be my advice. If you're looking to purchase a ring for the special person in your life, guy, lady, whatever, this is what you want to do. As Jen already stated, communicate with them ahead of time. Let them know, like, try to gauge what their expectations are. And then here's the game we play. Oh, you want that ring? I could never afford that ring. That's way out of my price range. Let's pick a much cheaper ring. But here's the secret, and this only works if this actually works for you. You can afford the first ring. What you want to do is set their expectations real low. So you say, oh, I couldn't afford that awesome diamond ring that you wanted. I can maybe get you a friendship bracelet. And then they think you're going to propose with a friendship bracelet. Then you walk in and boom, you got that perfect diamond ring that your partner wanted. Bam. You just blew their socks off because you successfully made them think you weren't successful enough to get the ring they really wanted. Build the foundation of any good relationship on a nest of lies. Much like a bird, you have to accumulate a bunch of lies, and like a bird gets branches and feathers and fabric, and create a nest with them to keep your relationship together. And to protect you and keep you warm in the winter.
Steve, were you ever on Kids Say the Darnest Things?
No.
I honestly feel like if you were like 6-year-old Steven, that would have been your answer. for what you should do to propose to someone.
You don't think lowering their expectations below what you can actually afford is a good plan, Jen?
Friendship bracelet?
I was joking. Obviously not friendship bracelet, but I couldn't afford a half carat ring. Let's go for a quarter carat. Your face, what is your face doing? Your face looks like who would ever say a quarter carat?
Who would ever say a half carat?
Oh, Jen, I hate to break this to you. That engagement ring that you lost, it was a half carat.
No, it was not.
You're right. It was a three quarters carat.
Oh, gosh.
Are you dying inside right
now? Yes, I'm dying because this is such an uncomfortable topic for me. But it's something that no one ever talks about. And I feel like someone just needs to say, like, just let it go or buy yourself your own ring. Like,
yeah. Why does it come down to your partner to be the successful ring buyer? Can't you be a ring provider of your own?
I was.
Yeah.
I bought my own ring.
Advocate for yourself. Get costume jewelry. Self-love. You said it was costume jewelry earlier.
My pink sapphire was costume jewelry.
Yeah. Somebody loves you very much.
That was on my right hand.
The devil's hand. We all do the Lord's work with our left hands. That's why you put your wedding band on it.
Your left hand in.
So to kind of wrap up what Jen and I have been talking about, the ring, the most important thing with the ring is that you communicate clearly what it is that you're expecting and what it is that you want, and that your partner communicates clearly what it is that they can afford. And if they can't afford the ring you want, then either tell them, hey, I don't think we should get married until we can afford that, or tell them, let's move ahead and we can save our money and buy the ring that I really want later. You don't need a ring to start out with. And as Jen was saying earlier, she bought herself a costume ring for her right hand, not a fake engagement ring. You can buy costume jewelry for your engagement ring, and when you have the money to buy a ring that you want, you can upgrade if you want. There shouldn't be so much stress put on the relationship from a monetary standpoint. And I realize, like, Jen and I's situation is unique because we got married fresh out of college, and not everybody does that. A lot of the clients Jen and I work with as wedding photographers are people who are getting married after they've already been working for several years as professionals, and they have money that they've been saving up for something like this. Jen and I didn't have money saved up when we were looking to get married. I had just graduated from college. Jen was still in college. We had a bunch of college loans that we still had to pay off, and money wasn't the most important thing to us. Figuring out how we were going to spend our lives together, how we could pay off that debt together, how we could move forward with our lives to build the sort of life we wanted, was so much more important than the size of a ring or the shape of a ring or the clarity of a ring. I guess I should have said diamond every time there. The size of the diamond, the shape of the diamond, the clarity of the diamond. There we go. Got it the first time around. I know about jewelry, Jen. Did you know? That's why I got you that good fisheye one.
I actually found one online that was exactly like what I dreamed about, which was insane.
It was more expensive than the engagement ring I bought you.
Oh, it was like $14,000, which I know for some people, they're like, yeah, that's what my engagement ring cost. But for us, that's not what we could afford. And I do not want $14,000 on my finger.
So let's just talk.
I would much rather have $14,000 worth of camera equipment.
Growing up, your mom.
Yes.
Did she have an engagement ring that she wore on a
every
daily
day.
Basis?
I've never seen it off her finger.
Even now?
Even now. But it was a different time.
See, my mom never wore her engagement ring. My mom was a school teacher, and she said one time early in her career, she was wearing her engagement ring, and she was meeting with parents, and the school she was teaching at was it was in a area that was not very well off. And she said she found a lot of the parents staring at her ring, and she felt like it was creating some sort of barrier between her and the parents of her students. And it made things awkward. And
so
I don't
your
know
mom
if this
didn't
just,
like her ring.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at. Me and my dad are both real bad at buying rings. We're bad, bad boys. But she said she took her ring off because she didn't want that outward like barrier between her and other people saying that I am richer or poorer than you or whatever.
I've seen your mom's engagement ring.
You have? I've never seen it. I've been her child my entire life.
I kind of feel, I don't know. It's just such a, for me, it's such a topic that it's like, it's uneasy to talk about because I know it's so faux pas. Like, do you just... You just accept the ring and you like it and you never talk about it ever again. And I get it. Like I get people wanting to say something about it because they have to, they're the one that has to wear it every single day. Like a bad gift, you can just kind of hide or put in the regifting pile or.
Oh, you know what else you can do with a bad gift? You can lose it. Blame it on the birth of one of your children and
no.
then say you can't find
That's
it.
That's the thing is, like we talked about, like that to me is a symbol of like, of us and where we were and things are different now. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate those ramen noodle days. Like I appreciate my ramen noodle days and I don't want to forget that. And it makes me very sad that I can't find it. And I believe that it will turn up someday. I want it to turn up.
So I think that's going to do it for us with this episode. Moral of the story is Steve needs to buy his wife a better ring.
Oh my gosh. I
you
do have a better ring.
You guys can all go to my Ko-Fi page and just
so silly.
$3 buys a cup of coffee. I'm doing air quotes around that. That all goes to Jen's ring fund.
Gosh, I sound like such a bitch. I'm not trying to.
I'm not helping. I'm kind of making you sound like that. I'm
no,
real sorry.
I just don't even want to put this out now because I sound like I'm such an, like, I just don't, like, appreciate anything. And that's not true at all.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
You too. And I appreciate your effort.
One of us sounded sincere.
I don't know about this.
So, Jen, where can people find us?
Hell.
Not what you're supposed to say, Jen. Jen, I think you made your position quite clear that the ring is not very important to your marriage and your relationship, but it is important as something that you have to wear every single day. So on one hand, it's not a big deal if...
Is that the right hand?
If the left hand, if the ring isn't large enough or if it's not the right cut or whatever, because the important thing is that you're getting married. But on the other hand, the rest of your life, you're going to be wearing this ring. So... If it's not the one you want, like maybe tell your fiance, swallow their pride and let's take the ring back and get something, you know, you like better. Because if it is something you have to wear for the rest of your life and the ring's not really that important, let's be honest.
How would you have responded to that though? As a 23-year-old.
23-year-old Steve was not as mature as the Steve you see before you. So as you can probably guess, that Steve would not have taken it so well because this Steve is not very mature still. So I would have gotten over it because I loved you.
I know, but it would have been like it is now. It's always a topic of, see, this is proof that you are an evil wench.
That's not very nice to say to me.
I think that's how there's been an elephant in the room about the engagement ring, and I feel like it's been lasting for 10 years and I have to continue to try to change the subject because it's brought up in a way that makes me feel very uncomfortable.
This is why I was very surprised you wanted to bring this topic up.
I thought it would
episode.
Be important. So even if we don't end up putting this topic out, maybe it's important for us to talk about it.
I'm super happy to have you as my wife, and I really don't care what you feel about the ring, if we ever find the ring again or whatever. As long as you're here with me for the rest of our days, you're my ride or die.
Yeah, boo. You are my ride and die.
I'm going to ride you to death. So that is going to do it for us this week.
You can find us. I'm not going to give you my address because I'm sure you're going to send me some glitter bombs. But you can find us on Instagram at Wedded Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Wedded Pod. And you can find us online at whatapod.com. Make it easy for you guys. Whatapod.
When you say it like that.
Tide pod. Just think of the really cool thing that that gives you superpowers if you eat it.
It's getting cut from the episode so we don't end up in jail.
This episode was brought to you by death.
Jen, where can people find you online, though? Real, raw, uncut Jen.
Typically, I am sitting on the toilet, flipping through Instagram.
Where can people find you online, Jen? Real, raw, uncut Jen.
Well, if you get on Google and you search Jennifer Van Elk, you will find things.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say if you get on Google and you search Stephen Van Elk, you will find things. You know what I'm saying? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's a sex tape. You can find me at Jen Van Elk Photo, both on Instagram and Twitter. Or you can find my business page at jennifervanelk.com.
You can find me at Stephen Van Elk, or you can find me at Stephen Little Dick Van Elk. Little Diamond. Sorry, Little Diamond. Man. Keep getting those confused. That's getting cut. I just want to make
No, please
laugh.
Keep it in. I'll let you keep in the toilet one if you keep that in. You're like, please don't make me put the toilet one in the podcast.
Thanks for joining us for our another episode of the Wedded Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Steve. Guys, we are growing a Facebook community online in our Facebook group, and we would love to have people join. You can send questions, topics you think we should talk about. You can make fun of me. If you make fun of Jen, I'll kill you. But that's just kind of life, you know? So that's going to do it for us. Thanks so much for doing this with me, my love.
No problem, player.